First Peter chapter 1. We are going to continue looking tonight at reigning in life. Amen. Okay, let me say thank you to every one of us who sent a message, who got across to me. If I've not responded to your message, forgive me. I had to run away for a while, put my phone on airplane mode. Otherwise, there was no way I was going to study today. From the very early hours of the morning for like 6 hours, I was wrinkled. So I saw that there won't be study today if I don't do that. So I may not have responded to your message yet, but I will find time to respond. I just want to appreciate every one of us, nobles, honorables, those who send a message through the platform. I may not be able to reply one by one, but at least I saw the messages and I want to appreciate every one of us. Amen. All right. So this is week 3, isn't it? Week 3. So it now looks as though the number of days left are not enough to finish the subject. Have you noticed? Just 3 more days. As in, no way, we'll continue another time. First Peter chapter 1, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, First Peter chapter 1, I read from verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and sought diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Okay, so we see a summary of salvation in that verse. What's the summary of salvation? It is the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Hallelujah. So notice the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So something followed the suffering. The suffering first, which we have been examining in detail, is crucifixion on the cross, is burial for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth before he rose from the dead. So his resurrection signaled the glory that should follow. Then verse 12 says, unto whom, that's unto these prophets who spoke, it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they ministered these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And so one of the things we touched was we saw Peter's sermon in the book of Acts. We saw Paul's sermon in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we saw Peter's sermon. And we compared that to the originals that the prophet spoke. We saw a slight change in language, which makes us understand what was being spoken of by the prophet. The Bible says, unto us. So when they were speaking, David was a prophet. And in the book of Psalm, when he spoke, what he spoke was not something meant for his dispensation or generation. It was meant for us. So in Acts, Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16 verse 8, we see David prophesying about the resurrection of Jesus. Psalm 16 and verse 8. We're going to read fast because of our time. I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. That rendition is funny because when you know what right hand means, you know you can't be at his right hand. Okay, so because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your only one to see what? Corrupt. So we said, what was the difference between Jesus' death and the death of Lazarus? What's the difference between the death of Jesus and the death of every other man? Every other man succumbed to the pangs of death because they were sinners. But Jesus' body never saw corruption because he paid the price for sin but never sinned. Do you see the difference? So in prophecy, David, by the Spirit of God, spoke that one of the ways you will know that this is the Christ is the fact that God will not suffer. He says, he will not leave his own in hell, neither will you suffer your only one to see what? Corruption. Look at the next verse. How will that happen? You will show me the path of life in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So pay attention to what he said here and how he used that word. In thy presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. All right. So verse 29. Oh, let's read from verse 25. Okay. So he says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. So he's quoting David now. Remember, they spoke, they prophesied of things that should come unto us. The things that we're experiencing now, they prophesied of those things. So it says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Let me explain what that means. What does it mean by my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad? Is testifying of the things that Jesus said when he was in hell. My tongue was glad is activity of speaking. There were things Jesus was saying on the cross. He said, it is finished, isn't it? And we looked at what does it mean for it when he said, it is finished. It is finished doesn't mean everything about redemption was finished. It means as the sacrificial lamb, that phase is over. As the sin offering, that phase is over. As the one who brought the law to a conclusion, that phase is over. The law is now over. Amen? But the fulfillment of redemption was not yet over. I told you it was in phases. First he will die, next he will be buried for 3 days, next he will rise, and after that he will ascend. So we saw that what's the name of that woman that saw Jesus before he ascended? Mary. Okay, so and Jesus told him, don't hold me back, I've not yet ascended. So ascending was a phase. It was his ascension that signified that everything had been completed. He had to appear on the earth, so there had to be a witness. Mary saw him, okay, to testify that he actually rose from the dead, a man, not a spirit, a man. Then he ascended to fulfill all things, okay? So, when he says, therefore the man rejoiced and my tongue was glad, he's testifying to what Jesus said when he was in the belly of that. Jesus was speaking while he was in hell. The confrontation and the battle had to do with words. It was about God fulfilling what he had said through the resurrection of Jesus. So while he was there for 3 days and 3 nights, what was Jesus saying? You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer. You only want to what? Now, you know when the Bible says that's what Jesus said. You can't be saying that for 3 days. Just repeating. You will not leave my soul in hell. He's giving you a summary of what he said. How many of you understand that? That's a summary. That the substance of what he said was that you will not leave my soul in hell. You will not suffer. You only want to see corruption. So next see what he's saying. So therefore my flesh, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Next verse. You have made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of what? Joy with your, what's another word for countenance? Visage, your face. Okay, so then, but he's quoting David. If he's quoting David and we look at what David said, what did David say? Again in Psalm 16, what did David say in Psalm 16? How did David put this verse in verse 16, Psalm 16? Peter is quoting David. So if you want to know what countenance means, you go back to what David said. Peter calls it countenance. What did David call it? In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. So presence there doesn't imply God's physical presence. No. You know, that simple explanation is the reason why we say that we're coming to the presence of the Lord. No, we don't come to the presence of the Lord. We have the presence of the Lord. We had the presence of the Lord. We have the presence. You see, we are going to meet the Lord. Where? How? You can say we're going to meet. But you're not going to meet him in the sense of he's waiting somewhere for you. No. When we come together, we are the house of God. Hallelujah. So even when you use those phrases, are they wrong? No. But understand what you mean by that phrase. We had a wonderful time today in the presence of the Lord. The question is, what do you mean? The statement itself is not wrong. What do you mean? So in your presence, the fullness of joy, Jesus, through the mouth of David, is speaking about resurrection. What's he calling presence? Is resurrection. Who raised him from the dead? God the Father. So in your resurrection is fullness. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1 so you understand. I just felt I just need to tie up these loose parts because I may assume you know why you may not necessarily get that part. Hebrews 1 from verse 1. First 3 verses. God was only times in diverse manner speaking time passed unto the fathers by the prophets. Next verse. As in this last day spoken unto us by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Next verse. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding or fulfilling all things by what? The word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he did what? He sat down on the right hand of majesty on earth. So when he had upholding all things, what were the all things that he was upholding? Like we say yesterday, what was he upholding? All that the prophet spoke to the fathers. Okay, so fullness of joy, presence, fullness of joy. Presence is resurrection. Fullness of joy is a description of completing a process that began from the Old Testament. Let me explain it again. Fullness of joy there is connected to presence. Presence means resurrection. Say amen. So by the resurrection of Jesus, what did we say the resurrection meant yesterday? After he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. How did he purge our sins? By his resurrection. Someone says, Pastor, are you now saying he didn't die? No, before he could rise. If any man rises, he has to die first. So in dying and rising from the dead, what does the resurrection mean? That our sins are what? Purged. So fullness of joy simply means uninterrupted joy. It means your status and your standing has been secured eternally. It is not an ongoing process. It cannot be reversed. You will never need to doubt it again. That's what he's saying. That's what he means by fullness of joy. Fullness of joy is not that you are laughing more than any other person. Mm-mm. That's a physical expression of a spiritual reality. Fullness of joy simply means that the process has been complete. Hallelujah. Upholding all things by the word of his power, he has fulfilled all that the prophet spoke to the fathers. So God, who has sounded in time, speak in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us through his son, whom he has appointed here, or the one that will inherit all things. What are the all things we inherit? All that the prophet spoke. How will he inherit? By his resurrection from the dead. What does that resurrection mean? Not only he will inherit, he will be the here, will be joint heirs with him. So he had by himself purged our sins. He sat down to show our sins are forever purged. So we saw yesterday that if your priest is standing, your sins are not purged. But we have a sitting priest. Say amen. We have a sitting priest to show that our sins are eternally purged. What does it mean for your sin to be eternally purged? That's what the Bible calls fullness of joy. That means the state of man has been so perfected in the sacrifice of Jesus that you never have to doubt again whether you will ever come into condemnation before the Father. Fullness of joy. That means uninterrupted joy. Hallelujah. That's what it means by fullness of joy. Glory to God. Let me show you another scripture. So, Hebrews 11, verse 39. Or Hebrews 11, let's do verse 13 first. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all is referring to the fathers, the prophets. Some of the fathers were prophets, some of the prophets were fathers. So he's referring to them here. Okay? That's what he's saying there. In fact, look at verse 1 so that you see that also. Look at verse 1. Verse 1. We jump after that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Next verse. For by heat. By what? By what? The elders obtain what? A good report. Next verse. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Next verse. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. Next verse. By faith Enoch. If you go on, you see, by faith Noah. Before it gets all the way down to Abraham. So notice, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. Who is he referring to? The elders that obtained a good report. So he says, what is the faith of the elders? Their faith was the substance of what they hoped for. It was the evidence of what they didn't see. What didn't they see? They didn't see Christ in their dispensation. Did they believe in Christ? Yes, they did. Do you understand that? So verse 13 now. It makes sense now. Verse 13. These all. Who are they all? The elders, okay? These all died in faith, not having received the promises. So, they believed in the reality of something that was going to happen. They believed in it. And they stayed with it till they passed on. That was their faith. They believed, you know, if you believe in something and you hang on to it till you go to the grave, whatever you believe in must be so sure that you're sure it will guarantee your resurrection. I don't know if you hear that. That means you know that your dying physically is not the end. There must be another life. See what he's about to say. He says, this all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, spiritually now, they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Did you see that? Look at next verse. For they that say such things, they declare plain that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they didn't come out of any country physically. The country where they came out is a figure of speech. By their believing, they left every natural habitat. They left every natural expectation by their believing. He says, if their mind was focused on temporal things or natural things, they would have had opportunity to abandon faith and to go back to the normal lifestyle. What is it calling lifestyle? The life of faith they were living. That means every day there was something they were looking forward to. Their faith was the substance of what they hoped for. It was the evidence of what they didn't see. So they didn't see it, but faith was the evidence that those things what existed. So he said, people who speak this way, they are declaring in the spirit that they seek a country. If they were conscious of the one they came out from, how did they come out? By believing the promise of God. They came out of the previous country. Say amen. You understand so far? See what it says again. It says, they would have had the opportunity to have returned. Look at the next verse. But now, hallelujah, they desire a better. The word country is actually italicized, a better. In the book of Hebrews, the writer introduces the word better. The word better doesn't is not a comparative term of, you know, good, better, best. No. The word better there means superior. Something you can't improve upon. That's what the word better here means. So it said, they desire a better country that is unheavenly. Wherefore, or for this reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That city is salvation in Christ. That's what he's talking about. Look at the next verse. So, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Next verse. Of whom was said, and Isaac shall I see be called, yeah? And accounting that God was able to raise him up also from the dead. So, Abraham believed in what? The resurrection of the dead. Next verse. That's where we're going. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Next verse. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, worshipped. And there's a verse I'm looking for before we go on. Hebrews 11. And okay, go with me all the way down to verse 38 or 39. So of whom? 39. Is it 38? 39. And this all, so he has now mentioned Elijah, he's mentioned Enoch, he's mentioned Jephthah, he's mentioned Gideon, he's mentioned Samson, Elisha, all of them. He now says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Look at next verse. God having provided some better thing for us, so that they without us should not be made. Now, notice what Peter said earlier. They spoke about things that was not for their time, but things that were concerning us. That the things that they spoke about were things that will come to pass in our own time. So the Bible says, God having provided some better thing for us, so that they without us should not be made what? Should not be made what? Where did you last see the word perfect in our teaching? Hebrews 10. By one offering, he has perfected forever. So what didn't they have? They didn't have that perfection. What did they experience? Pardon for sins. What do we have? Forgiveness of sins. Can you see now? So Hebrews 12:1 now. Pay attention shortly. Hebrews 7:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, pay attention to that first verse. Looking unto Jesus, the original translation says, looking away to Jesus. He's not looking unto, looking away. What are you going to look away from? Look away from Gideon. Look away from Abraham. Look away from Isaac. They were not made perfect. You have the fulfillment. You have been perfected. Hallelujah. So you look away unto Jesus. So when you are going to even teach, I've said it before, and use Old Testament types and shadows, you are not a shadow, you are the real. They didn't receive perfection. You have received what? Perfection. So you need to understand the difference. You have been perfected in Christ. Hallelujah. That's important. Because if you don't do that, you will actually undermine the salvation that you have received in Christ Jesus. Amen. So go back to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read from, where were we now? Let's read from verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Notice that he will raise up Christ to sit. So, Christ is risen for the purpose of sitting. The he seen this before spoke of the resurrection of Jesus, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, what? Exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Hallelujah. Now, go with me to Psalm 110 now, so that we can start from here now. We read something yesterday which we're going to go back to read, because everything we're teaching is based on that particular verse. Psalm 110 verse 1. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. What does that mean? What does that mean? Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This is arguably the most quoted passage or verse of scripture in the New Testament, particularly the epistles. The most emphasized. Psalm 123 doesn't have anything close to this in mention. How do you see any scripture that's quoted like this? That means this is the crux. This is what the New Testament is riding on. The Lord said to my Lord. And we've shown us in this series that the Lord said to my Lord is a picture of God becoming a man. That's what it means. So it's a prophecy that says so much. How God become a man is in that verse of scripture. The Lord said to my Lord. When did this say to him? David told us, when Jesus rose from the dead, God said to him, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. What's another phrase for thou art my son? Sit at my right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall I go over that again? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That is when that prophecy was fulfilled. What's prophecy? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Question, if he said sit at my right hand till I make your enemies, are you saying his enemies are not defeated? So what we're investigating, reigning in life, simply means that if he has vanquished the forces of darkness, yet he says, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The word sit there simply means continue in authority until all your enemies come under your feet. Footstool is a figure of speech. When the Bible says that the heart is God's footstool, it doesn't mean God puts his leg on his stool. Right hand doesn't mean there's left hand. Say amen. Say amen. Okay, the one right hand means regent. Regent means the one that has all the authority. So God had all the authority. He gave that authority to a man. That means if you're going to see the excess of that authority, it can only be demonstrated through a man. So sit at my right hand simply means by his resurrection, you have qualified for all authority. Remember in Matthew 28, when Jesus came, he said, all hail. All authority is given unto me where? In heaven and on earth. Did he say that before he rose from the dead? No. Because he didn't have all authority in heaven and earth. Who had all the authority in heaven and earth? God the Father. So God had planned that man will have that authority, but there was a process to getting that authority. That means he will have to qualify for that authority. So when Jesus says, all authority has been unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore. He was speaking as the power that's at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus is his qualification for all authority. Go to Ephesians 1 again, so you remember what it says. Ephesians 1. Okay, before you go to Ephesians 1, go to Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. We've not read Philippians. Philippians 2, 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yep. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I don't know why King James interpreted this way. It's confusing. But what really is this? It was God in form. But he didn't see being God as something to hold on to or to grasp at. He's about to teach us about the sacrifice of Jesus, that though he was God originally, okay, he didn't hold on to his status as deity. That's what it means. He didn't see his status as deity, something to be held on to. That's what it means. See what it says now. You understand what it says. And see what it says. Next. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So The gravity of this statement is in that Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. In that, the Lord said, a lot of events have been skipped. Before God can say, sit at my right hand, whoever is speaking to has to be beneath him. How many of you understand that? So he's saying in that same verse that God first of all became a man, became obedient to the point of death, accomplished our redemption, and by accomplishing our redemption through his resurrection, God could now say, sit at my right hand or take all authority. See what it says again. It says, okay, but means of no reputation, he took upon him form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Next verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So why would the scripture say even the death? We saw Galatians 3:13 yesterday, isn't it? How many remember Galatians 3:13? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hanged where on a tree. You see that? So the death of the cross is reserved for the vilest sinner. That's what he's saying. He became obedient, not just to death, but a particular kind of death. That death was to take away the curse of the law. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Am I speaking too fast? Are you getting it? So that particular kind of death, to hang on the tree, was to take away the curse of the law. That's what it means. So he became obedient, I mean, to death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. So Philippians has skipped the process. After the death of the cross, what happens next? What happens after the death? What happens after the death? Ah, you just resurrect like that. You won't be buried. You need to see why the epistles need to be read together, so that there will be an epistle that will speak about his being buried. There will be something that will just speak about his authority. So when you read together, you see the full picture. So we know after he died on the cross, he was buried. After he was buried, after 3 days, he rose from the dead. Okay? So now, that resurrection is now said, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What is he saying? Psalm 110 has been fulfilled. Sit thou at my right hand is a name above every name. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? The same truth, different phrases to explain it. Sit down, and a name above all names means authority above every other authority. Sit down at my right hand simply means exercise all the authority that I had. Without you, authority will not be exercised. So when people want me to exercise authority, who they will see is you. That's what the word regained means. The authority is total and absolute. In fact, the only one he doesn't have authority over is the one who gave me the authority. So when you want to see God, who do you see? Who do you see? If you understand this truth, even your visions will line up. Because when you get to heaven, who will you see on the throne? It's Jesus. It's God that said it. Sit down at my right hand. That's why if you read right hand literally, you just get to heaven and see Jesus here. Because it's right for you. You know, right hand, right for you. That's what you will see. Because that's what is in your mind. But the issue is, sit down at my right hand simply means, who will you see on the throne? I've told you, does God need a throne? Does God need heaven to live in? I've taught you before. It's those little things that affect us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. If God created the heavens and the earth, and he is the creator, where was he living when there was no heaven? Obviously, he didn't need heaven to live. So, heaven and earth simply means, even the heaven he created is for who? It's for man. It's for man. Why did Jesus become a man? Very simple. Genesis 1:26 had to be fulfilled. Look at Genesis 1:26 again. We need to get, it was important that we get this. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have. So when we make man in our image and he receives our likeness, what should he have? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Hebrews 2. We're going to a crash course again over this. Verse 6. Because you need to be able to explain it. And I'll show you something. Because salvation is not an afterthought. I must really prove that to you. It's not an afterthought. One in a certain place testifies saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you want? Visit him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. And you set him over the works of your... That phrase is a prophecy. He's not saying that when he created Adam, what he did for Adam is that he crowned with glory and honor and set him over. No, that's a prophecy. What I wanted him to have is this. Now, in order for him to have it, it has to come through a process. So he now says, you put all things on in subjection under his feet. That was God's plan. The same he said, let us make man, let them have. It doesn't mean they have, let them have. Hallelujah. Let us make, let them have his prophecy. This is the plan. So he now says, you made him lower than the angels. You come with glory and honor. You set him over the work of your hands. You put all things under his feet. For in that he put on his occasion under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now, let me give you. He left nothing that is not put under him. Is that not absolute authority? Okay. Do you see any man exercising that authority? In the fourth gospel, do you see Jesus exercising that authority? No. No, he didn't see him exercising that authority. Jesus didn't have absolute authority. In the four gospels, he operated strictly as the shepherd of the lost house of Israel. He even told disciples, don't go in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lordship of the house of Israel. When he rose from the dead, now says that all authority. Why was he saying he didn't have all authority before? So he didn't send them beyond the circumference of his authority. He didn't. When the 70 returned in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said, behold, I give unto you. Yeah, go on. Tread upon serpents and above all, and nothing shall buy. Are you one of the 70? Okay. Was he speaking to you? I know you don't like it. He's like, what's all this? Pastor is busting a bubble. They're not one of the 70. Behold, I give unto you power is right now. See, they came back. One of the things they told Jesus is this, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were shocked. Said, in the authority I just gave you, all power of the enemy, you have authority over it. You will trample on them, not shall by enemies hurt you. For you to know, he was talking about that present time. The things he said next to let you know that he was speaking about that present time. Are you in Luke 10:19? 10:17. See what it says next. Verse 18. Let's read. You see what I'm saying now. I beheld Satan fall from. Let me ask you a question, because you need to get this also. Where did they go? Where did 70 go? Where did 70 go? They said they go to Philippians. Where? Did they go to any? They go to. Let's okay. They went to the lordship of that of Israel, isn't it? They went preach. So when they were preaching, what was happening? They were healing the sick. They were what? Casting out devils. So when they were doing it, look at what Jesus said he saw. I saw who? What did I see? Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm coming to preach to you. And as I preached to you, you heard the gospel. You believed. I cast out devils. I healed the sick. And then Satan fell from heaven. Pay attention. If I'm preaching the gospel, and by exercising the authority Jesus gave me, and you received the gospel, I was in the side of casting heaven. Then Satan fell from heaven. Can the heaven be there? Who am I dealing with? People here. So the heaven, can it be one place located up there? No. The heaven is a pictorial representation of Satan's authority over the minds of men. Because when I preach the gospel, men hear me, their mind is affected. If their mind is affected, Satan loses his grip. So the heaven is the minds of men. Are you following? Did you get that part? No, think about it. I came to preach to you, then somebody falls from this chair. If he has chair. No, the Bible says he walketh about. Say he walketh about. You know, he came to show you a film. One underground kingdom under the ocean. Which ocean? No, he walks about. You can't believe beyond scripture. Don't believe superstition. Just believe scripture. He goes about. Seeking whom you may devour. Of whom will resist steadfast in the faith. And told you, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary devil goes about like a roaring lion. If he tells you to be sober, be vigilant, sobriety is of the mind. Vigilance is of the mind. So when he goes about, where will he come? The mind. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? How will you resist steadfast in the faith? The mind, through your sobriety. What sobriety? Acknowledge whom you are. Don't acknowledge the situation that you are in. Did you get that? Don't acknowledge the situation. Acknowledge who you are. Who you are is superior to the situation. When you are sober, you are acknowledging who you are. It says you will resist the devil. What will he do? He will flee from you. Because what's going to bring is deception. It's going to act like it's bigger than it really is. If you fall for it, you are not sober. He's using words that has to do with the state of the mind. That's what he's saying. So I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. So when we're preaching, the heaven is referring to there is the minds of men. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. It's the minds of men. It's the minds of men. Do you agree? Should I go on? Do you agree? Say, I agree. I'm kicking against tradition, right? Okay. Revelation 12. Let's see how that evidence. So you say, Revelation 12, verse 8. Verse 7. There was one in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. From this one scripture, theology was built that there was war in heaven. Okay, so Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Next verse. And prevailed not. Neither was there a place found for them anymore in heaven. What is heaven here? A place of authority. Next verse. The great one was cast out, that was happened, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. If he's somewhere in heaven, how is he deceiving people here? He can only deceive if he's operating through the minds of men. Where are men? Men are here. So see what it says. And his angels were cast out with him. Next verse. And I heard the last voice saying, Where Satan was his place. Now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Which what? Accuse them before our God. Day and if you go through this is our God, I think part 2. I think I said some things along this line. Okay? To accuse them before God, it's not that Satan appears before the throne of God. He doesn't have access. To accuse them before God is to come to a saint's heart and accuse him and tell you God disappointed you, God can't accept you. That's what it means to excuse men before God. It doesn't mean that he goes to God and says that. You see this brother Martins? He's no longer a brother, he's brotherless. No. He doesn't have that kind of access. He comes through the thoughts of men. Then he accuses men before God. So it makes you to feel that you are not accepted or condemned. It does the opposite of what salvation wrought for us. There is therefore now no condemnation. So if you don't know there's no condemnation, you will fall for his lies. Hallelujah. Salvation, the gospel, the sound of the gospel means that the accuser has been brought down. So let's go back to our text. Where are we now? Luke 10:19, isn't it? Luke 10:19. So behold, I give unto you power. Why is he giving power? I beheld Satan fall as lightning through the gospel. To tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. You know, that's a good place to be until you hear what Jesus has to say next. See what he says next. Notwithstanding, in this, in what? The demons are subject to you. You are healing the sick, rejoice not. So there's something greater than those two. When it says, behold, I give unto you power or authority. There's something greater than the authority I'm giving you now that you will soon have. Do you get that? Do you get that part? Should I say it again? There is something greater than the authority you have now. What's the authority now? The authority I give you now, you can cast out devils. Now, let me say it. To cast out devils means displace them. Get men free from them. But it was a temporal deliverance. In fact, you will not see the word deliverance used fully in the Gospels. The way it's used in the epistles. Because in the Gospels, Jesus dealt with the branches of the works of darkness. Wherever he went, he silenced them. He told them to shut up. He didn't allow them to speak. But he didn't conquer their master or them. So through his death and resurrection, he spoiled principalities and what? Powers. He went to the headquarters and did major damage. He did permanent damage. That's the difference. Can you see the difference? So the authority he gave them is inferior to the authority he had after he had destroyed the headquarters. Do you get it now? The way you are looking. If you understand, say amen. Okay, so see what it is now. In this rejoice not that the spirits are so given to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written where? In heaven. So where is heaven according to what we have been saying, teaching since back to what we taught in Ephesians? Where is heaven? Your place in Christ. Your names are when your names is not speaking futuristically. There's something greater to rejoice in. That greater thing is that where he sits, you sit. The authority he has, you have. What is that authority? Far above all principality and all power and every dominion and name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come. Glory to God. That's the authority a believer has now. So the authority the seventy had is inferior to the authority you now have. It's inferior. It's not the same. This one is higher. This one is stronger. This one is better. This one has a lasting effect far above all principality. Far above also is a reference to your nature. Your nature and that of the enemy is distant. The nature of the men who had authority over him then was the same. I hope you understand that. So the 70, was their nature changed? No. What were they giving? The authority that Jesus had. That is, wherever you go, just act based on my authority. I delegate my authority to you. A believer is not using delegated authority. To understand that, you may have to go back teaching on the name of Jesus. It's not delegated authority. It's not power of attorney. Mm-mm. It's the authority that belongs to you personally. Because you rose with him and you are seated with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you understand this, if they call you a demonic activity in a house, don't run. Don't run. You know, most of the reasons why we run from helping people or dealing with issues, should I tell you the reason? You have seen movies that are wrong. You have heard things that are not true. Have you heard this story before that three people were trying to cast out demons? Then the demon tried to attack. He now said, what are you standing on? Said, I'm standing on this table here. And the demon slapped him. It's not true. Those stories are lies. That the other one that was not slapped said, I'm standing on Christ. They say, so you even know. Bye-bye. A demon is talking to you. You. Listen, before Jesus destroyed principalities and powers, he did not allow them to speak. His authority was not absolute, but he had authority over them. They could not speak. Now that he rose as master, and they give you that what? Authority. You are discussing with demons. How? And I don't understand a believer saying that. What's your name? What's your name? Were you at his naming ceremony? What's your name? Bacchus, Bacchus. Your name is not Bacchus, Bacchus. Were you there? I don't understand the argument. You're still going to go and be asking him. I don't understand it. No. You're asking a liar. What's your name? A liar. What will Leah tell you? I don't understand. In fact, it's so bad that after they do the supposed deliverance and everything, local tower, they will now go and tell his story. He even said his name is Bacchus Bacchus. You haven't spreading it. A lie for him. A liar, you are questioning liar. What is your name? What's your name? Were you there his name? Say name ceremony or what? I don't understand. No. You don't question them, you cast them out. So in this rejoicing on, in this limited authority, don't place all your focus. There's something greater I'm about to accomplish. But that your names are written in heaven. What does it mean to be written in heaven? Go back to that Hebrews 2. We said all these ones. Hebrews 2, verse 7. Hebrews 2, glory to God. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, but when I put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now. Hallelujah. We see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower. So he's not telling you, when Jesus became a man, he became lower than angels. Lower than angels is a reference to putting on mortal flesh. Angels don't have a mortal body. Say amen. It doesn't mean lower than angels in authority. No, he's talking about the physical frame of Jesus. He says lower than angels, crowned with what? Glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste what? Death for every man. Look at the next verse. For it was necessary for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Glory is the Father's right hand. Say amen. So it was necessary in order to get men there. In order to fulfill Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them have dominion. In order for them to have dominion, in bringing men into that place, the one who will champion the event, it was necessary to make him perfect or complete through suffering. Not that Jesus needed to be complete, it is that the process needed to be complete through sufferings. Remember what we started from, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that followed. So the process of suffering, in that process, not only was sin paid for, in that process our captor was defeated, his hold was destroyed. In that singular act, he spoiled principalities and what? Power. So when you see Satan, who you are looking at is a defeated foe. You have to remind him, you are eternally defeated. You are a mockery. You need to be bold. You are eternally defeated, you are a mockery. A story was told about Dr. Spinry Woosworth. He had commotion in his house. He was sleeping upstairs. The commotion was in his living room. He came downstairs and he saw Satan on a swivel chair, messing around, said, "Oh, it is you." Went back up and went to go and lie down. No vigil, no casting out. There is no greater insult. The guy packed his load in shame and went away. He didn't even dignify with prayer. Some of you don't even need to see him, you just heard wimp. Tonight. Tonight. There's no sleeping. In fact, prayers are more effective between the hour of 1 and 2. That's where fire is really raining. That's, you have to, all kinds of doctrines of demons. That when you pray between 1 and 3, it's more effective. It goes straight to heaven. Expressway. Ungodly thoughts. Why would you need your prayer to go straight to heaven when you are seated in heavenly places? Prayer going to where? Going, as in going. See how carnality comes in. Your prayer is going. That's why people go in that. My prayer did not ascend beyond the ceiling. Why must it ascend beyond the ceiling? Are you on the ceiling? You are seated with him. Hallelujah. His authority is your authority. Glory to God. That's so important. So he says, he became from whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make, to effect their salvation through their champion. He had to do it by ensuring he went through the sufferings necessary. Look at the next verse. Glory to God. This is our shouting God. For both he that sanctifies. So what did the suffering produce? What he suffered ensured that when he rose, his status as the risen one is the status of everyone who believed in him. So both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. That phrase "are all of one" means they all have the same father, went through the same birth, came through the same process. So ideally, in the eye of justice and the eye of the spirit, when you are seen as somebody who has died, you have done all the dying you will ever need to do in Christ Jesus. Now you have come alive from the dead. And Satan has no answer to a resurrected man. Because resurrection means you have trampled on him once and for all. He may have an answer to those who are yet to resurrect. And by resurrection, I don't mean your body, I mean your spirit man. That when you came out of spiritual death, you came out of Satan's dominion. And Satan's hold forever. Say forever. So you are seated where? Far above. So in resurrection, it says, both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. For we have the same Father. He brought many sons unto glory. What's the honor of your glory? The Father's right hand. Hallelujah. The Father's right hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to round up shortly and begin to pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read from verse 24. Then commit the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. So there is, say there is a kingdom. I've received the kingdom. Where I'm seated, I'm seated in a kingdom. I exercise rule and authority in Christ Jesus. So it says, he's speaking about Christ. In fulfilling that scripture, Psalm 110, sit down at my right hand. It says, then commend the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Next verse. Next verse, see, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is, let me ask you a question, when will the last enemy be destroyed? No. When will the last enemy be destroyed? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is that spiritual death or physical death? Spiritual or physical? Are you sure? Are you very sure? Okay. If spiritual death has not been destroyed, how are you born again? When it spoils principalities and powers, why do you think John says we have passed from death to life? Because we love the brethren. A believer is not under spiritual death. He has passed from death to what? So in the resurrection of Jesus, has spiritual death been defeated? Yes. So which death is he talking about? Physical death. So when will physical death be dealt with? What you call rapture. I deliberately use that phrase because the Bible doesn't use that word. It's we that use it. At the resurrection of our bodies, death will be completely overcome. Resurrection is God's answer to physical death. So right now, have you overcome spiritual death? Yes. By becoming a new creation, because you came out of spiritual death into spiritual life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. That's it. So you came out of the womb of spiritual death. That's why you, being born again means spiritual death no longer has a hold over you. Who does Satan have control over? Those who are under the hold of spiritual death. Where are you now? You are in life. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. So, as we go on, we'll see hints here and there. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was start from a void. And darkness was where? Upon the face of the deep. And God said, then as you read on what happens next, you will see that he spoke about the days. Day. That's why Genesis 1-3. Once you don't understand it, you don't understand redemption. That's why we keep studying. Let me say it again. How do you count day and night? How do you count day and night? Sorry? The sun and the moon. Okay. So, if the first day recorded in Genesis is really the first day, then on the fourth day was when he had sun and moon. You're looking at the sun and moon. How then did time begin? So can you say before sun and moon were created, whatever I was talking about was not necessarily the physical environment? How many of you understand what I just said? And God said, let there be light. So you were thinking he's talking about geography, physics, but day and night cannot start until there's sun and moon. And sun and moon were not created until day four. The evening and the morning were the first day. That has to be morning and night, isn't it? Which is moon or sun and moon, isn't it? And there was no sun and moon. Yes, he said, let there be light. So the light he must have spoken couldn't be sun and moon. So in the book of Genesis, it's Moses' teaching ministry. Moses is teaching and using dark speeches to communicate the mind of God, the way he understood, because Moses saw Genesis via a vision. Here's the issue. You cannot interpret beyond your understanding. You cannot. So when Paul comes on the scene, Paul now tells us that the scale has been removed from our eyes. Here's what we read. Here's what it means. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of... Notice, he command light. He commanded the light. So this is a specific light. This is not sun or moon. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness and what? Shine in our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let there be light was God speaking to the hearts of men. Almost in the hearts of men, darkness, gross darkness. That's what Genesis was trying to say in those first verses. Hallelujah. That's what he was trying to say. Okay? That's God's darkness. If you read it very well, what it simply tells you is man is not a robot. Man was offered salvation by receiving Christ. Be all God wants to be by accepting Christ. Adam refused. If man wasn't given a choice, God wouldn't be fair. Man was given a choice. Did he accept the choice? No, he refused. He refused. God who commanded light shine and darkness are shining in our hearts. How did he do that? By giving the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. Did Adam accept it? Nope. He refused it. He rejected it. He didn't take it. Christ came and fulfilled what Adam didn't do. And today when we preach, it's still the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. That's the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 110 is fulfilled. But when he was speaking about Christ, he was speaking about us. All authority means we have all authority. Coming out of spiritual death means we are walking in life. Life means far above all principality and power. Let me say this. When you go after the lost, you are the one in charge. They are the ones in fear. Should I say that again? You are the one in charge. They are the ones in fear. You are the one who has life. They are the ones who are in spiritual death. Life is stronger than death. Don't forget it. So when you go after them, even in the demonic activity, the master of demons is present in you and through you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. So if you ever have a face-to-face confrontation, don't forget you are master over demoniacal forces. Not by wish, but by an actual resurrection and victory. For he that sanctifies and they that sanctify, they are one. Shall I tell you what that scripture means again? When you stand, Jesus is standing. Let me say it again. Here's one of the things, not fully identifying, is one of the challenges we have. When some people call on Jesus, should I tell you how they call on Jesus? They call on Jesus. Jesus, come and deliver me. So they effectively place themselves outside of Christ. Meanwhile, he said, go ye therefore. I am with you. What does I am with you mean? We are together as one. Where you are is where I am. Where I am is where you are. I'm in authority, you are in authority. So wherever you stand, Christ is what? Standing. That is what he wants you to know. But you know what we do? The minute there's problem, we separate ourselves. I'm here. This is Jesus. Jesus, come and do this thing. That's what happens. So you face demons. Jesus, oh, you have slapped the first person. So in your mind, you have separated yourself. And in the eye of God, you cannot be separated. That is what affects our experiences. Oh, that will stand in the office of our call. That will exercise the authority of our risen Lord. That will speak as those who are in authority. That will free men from the grip of darkness. That will set men free from the domain of spiritual death. Because as he is, so are we. Don't just say, don't just mouth it. Act it. Live it. Think it. Walk in the consciousness of it. Demons will respond to you. And when we were having the Holy Ghost meeting, I went to the back to go and minister. And there was a young man that was possessed. He came on behalf of one of the church members. Even the brother did not know he was possessed. It was when I looked at his face, he tried to hide. He was avoiding my stare. So I looked at him face to face. He was avoiding. The ushers tried to hold him. He began to manifest. I looked at him straight. I said, hold him still so he can look. When I gained full attention, I said, leave him now. That's not the time to say that way. 7 days fasting. That's not. It is who we are. Hallelujah. All the sins I've committed, but the ones I know, the one I don't know. You already have a problem. Because instead of being conscious of power, what are you conscious of? Sin. What I meant to be conscious of? He that sanctifies. And you who are sanctified, you are the same. So Jesus is saying, Barakpe is there. Because he's not afraid to call you brother. Barakpe is there. The job is done. Bragad is here. The job is done. That's how Jesus sees it. But you are saying, who is here? Who is where? Come now, before things scatter. Because in your mind, you have elevated the situation above the reality of who you are. Hallelujah. That's what you have done. You have elevated the reality of the situation above the reality of who you are. As he is, really, so are we. That's why Peter could do what he did. Look on us. Silver and gold have we none. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's not the same thing as calling Jesus come and do something. No, in the name means that in the authority that belongs to me, rise up and walk. That's why the man walked. Imagine Peter was about to go and pray. He had not prayed. So in case you think it's by the time I finish 7 days prayer, they will know. They will know. 7 days prayer. You can do 7 days prayer and be 7 days useless. But if you don't have the consciousness you are meant to have, say, I have authority. I didn't work for it. He worked for it. I'm meant to enjoy it. Hallelujah. I live in the authority. You know, 2020, there will be no sickness in your household. There will be no disease that will touch upon you. No demon will mistakenly play around your area. You'll be untouchable in every way. Your business will thrive. It will prosper. Many things in your life will be fueled by the word of God coming out of your lips. There will be a divine ability proceeding from you every hour. As fellowship with the Father, life will be released through you. You will be a helper of men, lifting many up from challenges. Things will work for you faster than before. The first 3 months will be months of great increase and much profit for you. In the name of Jesus. When we speak from the resurrection. It says fullness of joy means that unhindered promotion, unhindered progress, unhindered increase. Stand to your feet in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare boldly. How 2020, declare with hope. Don't hope, don't just think, don't wish. Know it's going to be a reality for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the resurrection, by the power of an endless life where victory has been assured. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Our faith is in resurrection. The same power that raises us from death raises us up. And we step far above. We exercise authority at his power above. Open your mouth and declare the month of September. What a glorious month. What a bountiful month. What a rich month. What a month of wealth and increase. What a year of glory. What a year of being walking in the fullness of the Father's plan. What a year of great things. What a year of mighty happenings. What a year of miracles. What a year of signs and wonders. What a year of the supernatural. What a year of basking in the Father's glory and goodness. What a year of seeing miracles on every side. What a year of no sickness. What a year of sound health. What a year of wholeness all the way. What a year of seeing and knowing. What a year of winning souls. What a year of getting men saved. What a year of discipling many. What a year of affecting lives for good. And then glass. I line up with the Father's plan. I walk in the Master's purpose. I discern the times. I walk by the leading of the Spirit. I exercise absolute authority in all areas of life. There's no stagnation. There's no slacking concerning me. I forge ahead. There is no down day, no dull moment. But I declare I'm fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord every day, every month. Exciting things happen. New things about the Father's plan concerning me, they unfold in 2020. Elegruste vrasto, luce vrastanga yasto, egigongro, besevrastanajte, engra, sigo kuse vratai, eniankalo bruste kiste, esisho bratakaya, clearly written, clearly read, clearly understood, clearly executed. In the name of Jesus, we go where the Spirit beats, we go where the Master leads. We do all of the Father's will. Elana Combra, Esudo Giani, Eniambro Stega, oh, Akakeke Sebrekishe, like a trumpet in our mouth, the gospel sounds forth. Like a trumpet in our mouth, it drowns out all the oppression of the enemy. Like a trumpet in our mouth, men dance, even to the rhythm of the gospel that proceeds from our lips, Eligroste Brada Gashte, Lesobrokosta Bragata, as a constant celebration of fulfilling the Father's will in 2020. Lake Rodro, Sivrata, Ligra Kishi, many more men taught, many more men raised, many more lives transformed, many more men blessed, irreversibly blessed, free from shackles of deception, free from lies, an assembly full of people learning, trusting, walking the light, walking the light, intense light, intense light, intense light, for the light of the gospel shines ever bright, ever bright. Oh, bro, Steve, the one of God has free cause. The one of God has free cause. The one of God has free cause through ministers and through the saints. As they take up responsibility, there's free cause. There's free cause. Bearing much food. Anekone, resto brota galagi, eklo, gresta brata, gala gruko koke se vreste gelia, ekakubro koke vreke ke se sobroko stabrada kashte. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Philippians 1:19, the Bible says, I know that it shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always without prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. We're going to pray for saints everywhere. Power of God will be at work to protect, to preserve, to provide, to turn things around. Many of them, we may not even know them, but the Spirit of God through us knows them. We're just going to make a supply of the Spirit available for their benefit, to help, to aid, to assist, no matter what situation they are in. We're just going to make a supply available. Can we pray in the name of Jesus? We pray with all prayers of obligation for all saints. We release the power of God to help, to heal, to assist, to preserve, to set free, to deliver, to turn around. I want us to pray concerning our children. It has been on my heart for a while. I don't know why it hasn't left my heart. So let's pray for our children for 2020. In the name of Lord Jesus, angels watch over them. As they go forth and they come back, that God's mighty power surrounds them, protects them. They are protected and they are preserved in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. They are bound in health. They are bound in health. In the name of Jesus, they are bound in health. By the power of God, they are bound in health. Our children, in their various schools, wherever they are, wherever they go, we declare 2020. Thank you for supernatural preservation. The power of God surrounds them. We release God's power to surround them in night, surround them in the day. They are preserved from sickness. They are shielded from evil. They are shielded from calamities in the name of the Lord Jesus. No evil befalls them. Neither does any plague come near their dwelling. Igunia Grace, the Kalugunje, Vrechika, Esther, Ezukratun Yangoli, Undi Emma, Tekola Brate, Ligoki, Ebrose, Vrediankajo, Lund, is stretched forth to protect, to preserve, to help, to deliver, to heal, to make them whole. In the name of Jesus, no sickness is permitted, no disease is allowed in the lives of our children. In the name of Jesus, Ele Gronasio, Ele Brokadvite, Ele Grishto Grostama, Esubrota Gatu, Elika Jahi, Yekuje Vrado. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, both this year and the coming year and the year after, there shall be no deaths in our homes or our households. Men are preserved. Children are preserved. Our women are preserved to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The enemy is stopping his tracks. Death is rebuked. Peace and victory prevails. In the name of Jesus, let's give you thanks and praise as well. Let's give you thanks. Thank you, Father, for 2020. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No one is allowed to die. In this assembly, no one is allowed to die. None is allowed to be sick. None is allowed to have calamity or accident or mishap. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we lift up the standard of the finished work of Christ. And we stand against untimely death. We stand against calamity and oaths. We stand against every attack of darkness. We declare every sin, every morning's assembly and their family and their home, they are preserved and they are shielded from evil both in the night and in the day. We thank you, Father, for the activity of angels to supernaturally deliver and to move us out of the arm's way in the name of Jesus. Thank you for constant testimony of deliverance and be set free from awkward situations. We give you praise, Father. 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 In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.